Amen and amen. You may be seated. Are you ready for the Word of God here today?
Yes.
Oh, I tell you what, folks, stir yourselves up here this morning. Don't let the folks watching by live stream think that there's nobody here, right? We actually, it's pretty rare to have a full church like this, you know, on a 4th of July weekend. You know, it's just interesting over the course of the years, you start to see patterns, you know, and as a pastor, I've noticed that anytime the 4th of July is on a Friday or Saturday, you know, there can be a real temptation to miss church for folks, but you didn't do that. You showed up here today. What does that mean? The Lord is here to bless you, to meet your needs, and so that we can be more like Him. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go to Romans chapter 5. And today I'm going to call this message, Love is a Sacrifice. Love is a sacrifice. Now, last week we were kind of led very differently in our Sunday service last week. All of a sudden there was a lot of utterance in a lot of different directions. We talked about how spiritual activity is on the rise. And more specifically, the Holy Spirit had us to talk about demonic activity is on the rise. But folks, we have good news in the Word. The Bible says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So we don't have to be afraid of what's going on in this world. We looked over there at Revelation 12:12. It said that Satan increases his activity as he realizes more and more that his time is short. And so there is more satanic assault upon believers, not just in this church, but across our nation and across the world. There's more demonic attack on believers now than at any other time in history. We see that principle in the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost just had us say some things last week to make sure that we're prepared for those things, that we make sure that we don't lose sight of our priorities in this life. Folks, I'm here to tell you that everything in your life comes down to decisions, choices, and priorities. If your priorities are not right, nothing in your life is going to go right. Or I should say it this way, if your priorities aren't right, you're vulnerable in all areas of life. And we need to make sure that our priorities are straight in these last days. And remember, we know there's a lot going on, you know, in the world right now. You know, there's wars and rumors of wars. We know that, you know, Iran and Israel and now the United States, and there's threats of Russia, and there's just all this stuff taking place. Well, remember what Jesus told us over there in Matthew 24. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He said, you know, but be not deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't get offended. Don't betray one another, and don't let the love of God grow cold, right? Folks, it's going to be very easy to lose sight of the love of God in these days. We live in a very impersonal society where everyone's feeling empowered through, you know, the internet, through devices. Everyone's got to give a piece of their mind. Everyone's got to tell one another off. You know, many YouTube ministries exist for the purpose of exposing and accusing other ministries. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And if you're spending your time on YouTube just trying to find out where everyone else is wrong, I'm here to tell you are doing the deeds of the devil. If you're sitting down writing, you know, things on Facebook to try to tell somebody off, prove how they're wrong, listen, the scripture says over there in Romans chapter 14, if there's a servant of God that is in error, it is the Lord's place to correct him. All right. You don't want to find yourself, you know, becoming, you know, consumed with this accusatory spirit, you know, trying to blame everybody, trying to attack, trying to accuse, trying to expose. You know, be careful of that. The Bible says the love of God covers a multitude of sins. As a pastor, if I have to keep wrong doctrine out of this church, I'll do it, but I'm not going after somebody personally. All right, if you're sitting around taking things personally and accusing other Christians and trying to find fault in everybody, I'm here to tell you that's exactly what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to drive the level of love out of the church. And so when we say love, we mean the God kind of love. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. Have you found Romans 5:5? And we looked at this a little bit last week, and I'm going to read this verse again. And I said this, and the number one thing that we have to know and realize about the love of God, the God kind of love, or the love that you and I are supposed to demonstrate when we react to what others are doing. Folks, how many of you know what we're talking about here today are the reactions that we have when we are provoked in our personal relationships? Has anybody ever provoked you in this life? Has anyone ever annoyed you in this life? Has anybody ever done anything against you in this life? Nope, never, never. You know, everybody is just so nice all the time. Have you realized that human beings are just the kindest creation? They're always so nice. People are always so patient. They never insult you. They never come after you. And God forbid, we know nobody in here ever does those things, right? Never. Who else? Is there anyone else in here that's perfect just like me? Is there anybody? Folks, how many of you know just the opposite is true? Folks, do you see, you know, how malicious people can be at times? How rude people can be at times, how impatient we can be at times. It's not just what people do to us, it's the fact that we act this way as well. How many of you know we are tempted to insult, attack, blame, complain, all this stuff. And by doing so, that is Satan's subtle plan to move you out of the course that God has for your life. Love is the greatest nature of God. And we need to walk in his kind of love, Romans 5:5. We said this, the most important thing about God's love, it's not just a matter of behavior. So many Christians, they think that, well, walking in God's love is my behavior towards other people. Well, behavior is very important, and it will show up in your behavior. But how many of you know the love of God isn't just our behavior, it should be our innermost nature. The love of God is less about how we behave and more about God's nature dwelling on the inside of us. Folks, how do we know? Because we know that even unsaved people can be very nice. Have you ever met a very nice, unsaved person? Have you met a very kind, unsaved person? A very gracious person that doesn't know Jesus? Yeah, I hate to say this, but every once in a while, I'll meet someone who doesn't know Jesus and they almost seem nicer and kinder than most Christians. Has anyone ever had that experience? Let's just be honest. So notice it's not just behavior that God was looking for. Behavior in of itself was not the plan of God to put love inside of his people, right? The plan of God was to change our nature. See, a lot of Christians, they think that salvation, it was just a matter of getting that ticket so you can go to heaven one day. Folks, we're very glad that salvation includes going to heaven because the alternative is not a good alternative at all. Right? Thank God for salvation that we should take as many people to heaven with us as possible. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ did not hang on that cross and shed his blood, die and descend into hell, and then raise again the third day just so that we could try to act nice. He did that. He gave us salvation because mankind didn't just need better behavior. Mankind needed a brand new nature. Because without the nature of God, mankind is a liar, a thief, a killer. That is what man is without God. And so God looked upon mankind and said, if there's any hope for them, I have to give them a brand new heart. I got to take out that heart of stone and put within them a heart of flesh, meaning a tender heart. And I've got to put my nature of love on the inside of them. And see, out of our nature should flow our behavior. But so many Christians are just trying to be nice. Well, no. You wanna focus on your nature. the nature of God on the inside of you. Romans 5:5 tells us this. It says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is what? Shed abroad, or literally you could say it this way, imparted directly to your heart by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you are a sincere believer who has confessed Christ and you are desiring to please him and to live for him, the scripture says that the moment you got saved, God changed your nature. Even though your behavior might not have changed very much right away. I know this, that when I got saved, I had a lot of bad behaviors. And we need not to go into that, right? But I had a lot of bad behaviors. And yes, I noticed a difference even right away. But there were still some things that I had to work through. But what I did is I instantly got into a Bible teaching church. I instantly started to feed on the Word of God. I started to feed the nature of God on the inside of me. And then all of a sudden, I started one after another breaking free from those behaviors that were keeping me back, holding me back. Are you here today? I started to learn about the nature of God in me and started to live out of that instead of just trying to be nice. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you know, if you're good only to people that are good to you, he says, what reward do you have? He said, even sinners can do that. Even sinners can do that. And so there's nothing supernatural about just being nice at times. But there is something very supernatural living in the inside of every single believer that we can have the love of God in our heart. See, the moment you got born again, the love of God and the love for God was placed in your heart. That means when you got a new nature, you received a brand new value system. Your value system. God's value system is in your heart right now. That means that you have the ability or the potential to love the things that God loves the most. You have an ability or a desire in your heart to put God first. You have a desire in your heart to please him, to honor him, to love what he loves, like what he likes. Amen. That's why you're in church here today. Something in the love of God drew you to value the house of the Lord here today. And when you start learning about that value system that's in your heart, all of a sudden, you're going to start loving the house of God. You're going to start being willing to serve. You're going to be willing to give. You're going to be willing to forgive. You're going to start walking like God. Amen? See, God knew we needed a new nature, not just a warm-up in our behavior. Amen. How many of you have the love of God dwelling on the inside? If you're born again, that's who you are, and that love will burn in your heart to do something for the Lord. But if we're not careful, we can neglect the nature of God on the inside. There's a lot of Christians, they neglect the nature. They don't learn to love what God loves because they don't feed the love nature on the inside. You can't just say, well, it's in there, and if God wants it to come out, well, then he'll draw it out. No, we've got to feed it. We've got to nurture it. We've got to be renewed in our minds about what is actually in us and available to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, today we're going to go one step further. Go to John chapter 15. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 15, and we are going to start in verse 5. The love of God is on the inside of you. The love of God is always providing a warning when you start to slip away from him. The love of God is in your heart to value what God values. Amen. Praise the Lord. Learn to value what God values. And I'll tell you what, you're going to see in this scripture the power that is available when God's people start walking in the highest nature of God. Jesus is going to tell us. I'll end the suspense right now. Jesus says this here in just a couple of verses. He says, if I dwell in you and if my words dwell in you, he said, you will come to the point where you will ask whatever you will of your heavenly Father and it will be done. Why? Because you're walking in his love and his nature. Look at this. We're going to read several verses here. I'm going to make some comments as we go, and then we're going to go back and teach it. All right, let's start in verse 5. John 15:5 is arguably my most favorite verse in all the New Testament. I literally say this just about every single day of my life, especially this last phrase of this verse. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, I am the vine. Who are the branches? We are the branches. He that abides or dwells or remains in me, and if I remain in him, folks, how many of you know you can't just get saved and then not remain in Christ? How many of you know? Oh boy, don't get me going on that subject. Folks, I'm here to tell you a simple little prayer is not fire insurance. God isn't looking for conversions. God's looking for a changed life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, it starts with conversion. He that abides, remains, or dwells in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Everyone say much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is the vine, and what does he want for his branches? Much fruit. That's you and I. He says, but without me, you can do nothing. I say that every day of my life. Lord, without you, I am nothing. I can do nothing. But in you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says in verse 6, he says, if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch or removed. Boy, hear how quiet it got in here? But the modern day church says, oh, no. There's no removal from the vine. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. I mean, there's several verses in the New Testament. When someone says, I can just get saved and do whatever I want and live my own life and have, I just want to go to heaven someday, but I don't want to obey God and do, anything for the Lord. Well, I'm here to tell you, branches are removed. Yeah. To be removed as a branch, that means you had to be in the vine at some point. Yeah. Right? Remember what Jesus said over there? You know, over there in Matthew chapter 7, he said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Yeah. Right? But Jesus will say, but I never knew you. He said, who are those that will be saved but those that do the will of God? You're going to have to do God's will. So notice we have to abide or dwell or remain in Christ. And today we're going to talk about how you do that. All right. And what he's talking about, he says, if a man does not dwell or abide or remain in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Pastor, what does that mean? It means exactly what you think it means. It means exactly what Jesus said it means. If you don't remain in the vine, you're removed. Boy. Well, I could, you know, I know that this kind of verse is not very marketable in the modern church. Folks, I'm here to tell you, this church is not marketed by man. This church is marketed by God. We don't sit around and study what might offend people. We just preach the word of God. We're not using test groups, finding out what people want to see. What kind of entertainment do they want in the church? You say, well, Pastor, that goes on? Yes. Yes. Big time. Overwhelming. Yes. God is going to be the one who gets what he wants around here. Amen. Jesus said, they're withered, they're gathered up, they're cast in the fire, they're burned. Verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Those that are obedient to God will have the Father's ear. Yes. Folks, you see this. When you abide in obedience and you serve the Lord and you walk in his love, when you ask of God something according to his will, it will be done. That's good. But so many Christians, they want to be in disobedience and they still expect God to move on their behalf. Well, there's a gray line there. God is very merciful. He treats us better than we deserve. But I tell you what, if we knowingly keep neglecting obedience, there is a price and a cost of that. We have to remember. Look at Jesus. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, abide, or remain in my love. How do you abide in Christ? You abide in his love. You abide in his love for him in obedience, and you abide in love by demonstrating the same love that you received from him. The same love you received from Jesus, you're supposed to demonstrate in your personal interactions. Amen. This is where the power of God is at. Amen. Look at verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. How do you stay in the love of God? You obey him. You obey him. You say, Pastor, this is so simple. This is almost like a Sunday school lesson. Folks, it might be simple, but it will keep you busy for a lifetime, right? You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What kind of obedience should we have as Christians? The same obedience that Jesus had with his heavenly Father. Jesus obeyed the Father, and Jesus remained in God's love. We are supposed to obey Christ and remain in his love. Folks, do you see how important this is? And when you do, when you have God's value system dwelling in you, you will get to a point where you will know your heavenly Father. You will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Look at verse 11. I haven't even gotten to the main point yet. These things, Jesus says, everyone pay attention now. Listen to what I'm about to say. These things, Jesus says, I've spoken unto you that you may be sad and drudge in life and hate everything that you have to do and get, oh wait, am I reading that wrong? Jesus said, I've said these things to you that my joy would remain in you and that your joy would be full. Do not let that devil tell you that obeying God is a life of drudge and sadness and dirge. I'm here to tell you that the most joyous life is a life that is sold out to God, that finds their joy in the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, that's why when you're walking with the Lord, conviction or correction, you rejoice at it. Oh, there's a special offering being taken up. Praise the Lord. Oh, time for tithes and offerings. Glory to God. Time to serve and to praise the Lord. Good. Amen. See, when you get to that point where his commands are joyous to you, the Bible says your joy would remain full. Your joy would remain full. Verse 12, he says, this is my commandment. Here's my instruction that you what? Love one another as I have loved you. What the church of the Lord needs across this world right now is not a political lesson on Israel and Iran. What the church needs is to stick to the original instructions to love one another as Christ has loved us. How did Christ love us? Verse 13. Jesus says, greater love. Everyone say, greater love. Here's the greatest form of love. Jesus says, greater love has no one more than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. How did Jesus Christ love us? He loved us with a sacrificial love. The greatest love that we can walk in is sacrificial love. The sacrificial nature of God was placed in every heart that calls upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What is your new nature? It is the nature of sacrificial love. Boy, listen to everyone's thunderous approval. Boy, everyone gets really excited when you talk about sacrificial love. Oh boy, but this is where the power of God is at. Amen. Here's the second thing we need to know about the love of God. First, we talked about it is our nature. It is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The second thing we need to know is that the greatest love of all is sacrificial love. Amen. Sacrificial love is our new nature. You were born again to sacrifice. You were born again to put yourself under. You were born again to live a crucified life. Woo! Christians think, well, that's not fun. Just tell me how promotions are coming to me. Christians, You know, so many believers, just tell me how money is going to flow to me. Just tell me how all the promotions come to me. Well, I will answer that. I actually am answering that in a way. Live a crucified life. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. The love that is now in us is the sacrificial nature of God. Love is the highest form or highest nature of God, and sacrificial love is the highest form of God's love. Jesus said in verse 13, no man has any greater love than this, that he would sacrifice himself for others. He says, and now my instructions to you is to love one another with the same sacrificial love that I have loved you with. Oh, here's the instructions. We're going to get to how this looks like and what this does. Amen. It should be the goal of every sincere believer to become more sacrificial and less superficial. Okay, okay. Amen. I really believe that that's our two choices in these end days for believers. We can either be sacrificial or we're going to be superficial. A superficial Christian, their faith is only skin deep. Their faith is very shallow. They might confess Jesus as their Lord, but they don't have the value system of God. They don't value what he values. They don't care who they step on. They don't care about their attitudes. They don't mind, you know, cursing people out. They don't mind criticizing everybody. Are you here? They love to blame everybody else. They bicker. They fight. There's no love that's demonstrated in their life. You know why? Because they're superficial and not sacrificial. The depth of a genuine believer is sacrifice. Folks, there's an element of sacrifice that you've made to be here today. Folks, when you're a genuine believer, you sacrifice your time. You sacrifice, yeah, even finances. Yeah, you sacrifice your effort. Yeah, you sacrifice. There's levels of entertainment that are no longer acceptable because it's not compatible with the Lord. There's different things that we give up in this life because God gave up the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. I'll tell you what, the power of God is on the other side of you and I living a crucified life. A crucified life. Well, Pastor, I didn't feel like coming to church this morning, but I did. I wanted to honor God. That's right. You just crucified your flesh. Pastor, I have to admit, I've been so tempted not to tithe. You know, it'd be so much easier. I could pay something off or do something with that money. But you know what? I'm staying faithful to God anyway. Guess what? You just crucified your flesh. Oh, Pastor, I know, you know, it's tough to get to the special service or when we have Wednesday nights, it's tough. But you know what? I make arrangements to be there because I just want to be in the presence of God. Yeah, that's called the crucified life. Pastor, someone was rotten to me. They just attacked me, insulted me, and I forgave them, and I just walked in love and just let them know I loved them. Yeah, you just crucified your flesh. Amen. A crucified life is where the power of God is at. Amen. We got to ask ourselves in these last days, are we going to be sacrificial or superficial? I want to be sacrificial. I don't want to be superficial. I want God to see, like, when it's real in your heart, man, it drives you. Lord, everything is yours.
That's right.
Lord, everything is yours. If there's something in my life that I need to lay down that would please you, Father, I'll do it. If there's something in your word that I'm not doing that I should be doing, Lord, I'll make the correction. Yeah. Amen. The love of God will drive you to be sacrificial. This is the difference between a true Christian and a skin-deep Christian. This depth of sacrificial love is where our faith matters most. Folks, I had to give up drinking because I just wanted to serve God. I crucified my flesh. I gave up profanity. Crucify, you know, our flesh. There's times there's temptations. Maybe it's smoking cigarettes. Crucify the flesh. Boy, a lot of dope smoking in the body of Christ today. You say, really? Yes. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, and I'm not even really talking about around here that I'm aware of, but there's a lot of Christians that, oh, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Folks, I'm here to tell you that lifestyle is incompatible with God. It will be judged. Oh, my gosh. Pastor, that seems harsh. No, God doesn't want to exclude anybody, but he's letting you know that his righteousness does not accept that.
That's right, amen.
Are you here today?
Amen.
Say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Crucify the flesh. Say, but Pastor, that hurts and that's hard and my mind and my body will just absolutely, you know, cringe and go through withdrawal. Listen, put up the fight. God's worth it. God's worth the fight. Lay down the addiction. Crucify the flesh. That's where the power of God is. God is waiting on the other side of difficult decisions. He is. Amen. That's sacrifice. Crucified life. Amen. The power is in the decision whether we decide to live a crucified life or not. This is what it means to be Christ-like. Amen. Amen. Can you bring up, I wasn't originally going to bring this up. Can you bring up Galatians 2:20 for us? Can we bring up Galatians 2:20? You know what? Before you bring up Galatians 2:20, bring up Galatians 5:24. Here's the real exciting part of the message here today. People are just going to love this verse, right? Amen. They that are Christ's, that's me, and I believe it's you as well. I belong to him. Isn't it really interesting that in that simple verse, if we're not careful, we will look right over the fact that the Bible is written from the standpoint that we are a purchased possession of Christ. I belong to him. I belong to him. He shed his blood. I am his. They that are Christ's have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Yes. Folks, how many of you know there's a lot of affections and lusts or desires in our flesh that are very ungodly? Crucify them. You know, drinking, crucify it. Smoking, crucify it. Swearing, crucify it. Pornography, crucify it. Lying, crucify it. Are you here? Go to Galatians 2:20. Well, I wasn't planning on preaching this. Some of these verses came out last night in our Erie service. Notice Paul the Apostle, he said this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Wait, that's interesting. Wait, I don't remember Paul ever getting nailed to a cross. I don't remember Paul hanging on that cross with Jesus, do you? Not physically. Paul was not there physically, but Paul's sins were on that cross. Folks, were your sins on that cross that day? As far as God is concerned, were you on that cross with Christ that day? Yes. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, yet this crucifixion allows me to still live. He said, I'm a living crucified life. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? He loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's saying, because that sacrificial love was demonstrated on that cross, that sacrificial love now moved into his life. And he gave up being a Pharisee. He gave up the prestige. He gave up the wealth. He gave up his life because that sacrificial love moved onto the inside of his heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sacrificial life is how we grow in the things of God. If we are becoming more like God, that means we are becoming more sacrificial. Yes. Folks, I'm here to tell you, superficial Christianity is on the rise. And unfortunately, sacrificial Christianity is on the decline. Folks, don't get caught up into the course of this world that is becoming more superficial as you know in Christianity. Become sacrificial. You say, Pastor, what do I do to be sacrificial? Well, you've already started. You're here in the house of the Lord. You know, sacrifice to be there. You know, obey God even if it's inconvenient, even if it's uncomfortable. Obey him. Yes. Amen. Amen. Allow that your nature is sacrificial love. Live out of that nature that's on the inside of you. Glory to God. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's start looking exactly at where the rubber meets the road. This is what behavior will come out of your sacrificial nature. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:4. How many of you are familiar with the love chapter over here in 1 Corinthians 13? All right, four of you, great. Praise the Lord. I know you were turning there. 1 Corinthians 13:4. I'm going to start in the King James Bible. You might have a more modern translation, and that will help us to understand some things. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:4. Now remember, what we're about to talk about, these are not personality traits. These are reactions that come out of our new nature because God dwells in us. His love dwells in us. Notice this. Now you're going to see in the King James that I have up here the word charity. But how many of you know the word charity in the Greek is the Greek word agape, which means what, everybody? Love. What does agape mean? Love. And so how many of you have a more modern translation that uses the word love? All right, yeah, more than half the church, okay? Because the word charity is the word love, so I'm going to simply insert that word there. It says love, this is the things that love will do. Are you ready? Don't we love the first one? The very first trait of God's love living in us, love suffers. Woohoo, party favors, streamers, people doing jumping jacks for joy. You know, they're so excited to hear the first thing that love will do dwelling on the inside of you, love suffers long. Wait a minute. I thought the love of God just always felt good. I thought the love of God was just easy. I thought love was just filled with good vibes. I am so fed up of hearing that word. I am so fed up. Everyone's talking about the vibes and the feels. How many of you have heard this stuff? And maybe it's just the younger generation way of talking. I don't know. But all I know is everyone's talking about everything they want. You know, when some tragedy happens, you hear some celebrity say, we're sending good vibes over to wherever. You can't send good vibes. You can pray and touch heaven and bring some real help to those folks. Are you here? Good vibes and good feels. But what are you going to do when a good vibe is hard to find? What are you going to do when a good feel is hard to find? Listen, I tell you what, you can't make it in this world on good vibes. But I tell you what, the love of God never fails. The love of God. And notice this, obviously, this love must not be a feeling. And here we go again. We're going to have to quote the old rock song from the 70s. It's more than a feeling, right? See, the word charity, and I've already mentioned it, it's the Greek word agape. How many of you have ever heard of agape love? The word agape means the God kind of love. Literally, it means undeserved. It means unearned, right? It means unconditional, whether someone has earned it or not. God's love is, you know, God doesn't act in love because somebody treated him right. Yeah. Right? Do you believe that God has ever suffered long with you? Yes. Do you think God has ever had to put up with you? Yes. I know he's had to put up with me. I mean, do you think that he's ever had to be extremely patient with you? Aren't you glad that God did not just toss you on the spiritual junk heap when you were making mistakes, even when you fell short? Can we bring up Romans 5:8? Can we just look at this real quick? Don't turn there. We're going to stay in 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to look at this for a few minutes. Can you bring up Romans 5:8? But God commended, modern translation says God demonstrated his love toward us in that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were liars, even when we were murderers, even when we were thieves, he still died for us. Amen. He demonstrated his unconditional God kind of love even when we didn't deserve it. Aren't you glad? So go back to 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffers long, meaning it endures or has extreme patience with people who don't deserve your patience. Folks, that's exactly. Can you bring up 1 Corinthians 13:4 and make sure that's on the screen? It says this, love suffers long. Has there ever been anybody that has made you suffer long? Oh, here we go. Now this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we find out if we're living out of that new nature or not. Because notice, to suffer long with somebody means that you're going to have to crucify your flesh, sacrifice yourself, and to carry their bad behavior and give them wonderful behavior in turn. This is when somebody hands you a bucket of dirty, filthy water and you hand them back one that is perfectly pure and clean. This is when they give you nonsense and insults and maliciousness and backbiting, and you decide to pray for them. You decide to be kind to them. You decide not to retaliate. You decide not to go on a backbiting retaliation against them. Are you here today? When you are walking in God's sacrificial love, you will have to crucify your mind and your flesh to absorb the weaknesses of people around you. Because people are going to need to absorb your weaknesses. Do you think you've ever annoyed anybody before? Has anybody ever annoyed you? No. Am I annoying you right now? Probably. You know, is there ever anything that happens? Do we have any married people here today? Do you think marriage will require some long suffering? Oh, absolutely. Say, Pastor, my spouse just doesn't act right. They always do this. They never do that. Beware of always and never. Because your spouse probably doesn't always do that. So now you're probably lying a little bit. And it's not like they never do that. What you're saying when you say that is that they are not meeting your expectations right now. Right? And so you're going to have to suffer long. Guess what? Marriages sometimes go through a stretch where both husband and wife just aren't connecting or getting on the same page for whatever reason. Sometimes one of them or both of them get an attitude problem that might last a week or two. God forbid it lasts even more. But love suffers long. Love is patient with your spouse. Love doesn't make them pay. You know, love treats them better than they deserve. Because why? Christ suffered long for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you see the self-sacrifice in this? The self-sacrifice means that you bear the actions of people against you. You absorb their bad behavior and you give them great behavior. See, that's why the Bible says that love suffers long and is kind. The kindness of God is in your heart to treat people better than they deserved. Now, folks, this is talking about our personal interactions with people. This is not talking about if someone committed a crime against you. If you're in a marriage and you're being physically abused, that's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about, you know, abuse or assault or something like that, all right? This is talking about personal interactions. Or you could say it this way, personality differences, all right? Love suffers long. Yes, love is patient. Love is kind. Amen. These are the reactions that we are supposed to have when we're provoked. This is not talking about people that just have more of a natural patience. Folks, you ever known anybody, they just seem to have a more natural patience than you? Maybe they have a more natural kindness than you. Have you ever known people like that? This is not talking about personality traits that just we go you know, in our day-to-day, you know, routine of life. This is talking about divinely granted reactions when we're provoked and tested. Is there anybody that ever tests you? Anyone that ever provokes you? You ever caught somebody, you know, telling people, you know, lying behind your back or telling them things that are wrong about you? Folks, I'll be honest when I say this. I'm not trying to say it to gain sympathy or anything. I'm just using it as an illustration. There would be no way I could be a pastor. I could not stand in this role if the love of God was not in me. And I'm not saying that I've been perfect in it and nobody has been perfect in it. But I'm just telling you, much like probably what you do for a living, there's always somebody telling you something against you. Someone's always upset. Someone's always, you know, unhappy, complain about you, lie about whatever it is. Guess what? Love suffers long. Love suffers long. You're going to have to suffer long with your spouse. You're going to have to suffer long with your coworkers, your family, your extended family. Folks, you're going to have to be patient with your children. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from them. How many of you know we're going to have to be patient with our kids? We're going to have to be patient with our bosses. Why? Because Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Glory to God. Hallelujah. It should be the goal of every believer to be more like God and be sacrificial just like him. Amen. Are you getting something out of this here today? We're not going to make it very far past this. Yes. When we are provoked, that is when we truly discover what's in our nature. We find out the real you when people are treating you like trash. We find out what's really inside us when life isn't going our way. This is when the Bible says love suffers long. Notice that's the first trait that is given here about love. Suffers long. That is God's way of saying life isn't fair. That is God's way of saying you aren't gonna, you know, get all the good vibes you're looking for. That is God's way of saying people are gonna mistreat you. People are gonna mishandle you. People aren't gonna reach your expectations. Notice God did not supernaturally say, you know what, I'll just cause you to avoid all those interactions. Why didn't God just allow us to avoid all these mean people? Why can't we just avoid everyone who's gonna mistreat us? No. God said, I'm gonna put a supernatural reaction in you, the ability to treat them and to show them the kindness that I showed you, because that's how God moves into your life in a greater measure, because you decide to be sacrificial. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you know we need those interactions? We need them. Now, of course, I'm not saying that, you know, God purposely orchestrates people mistreating us, but he knows it's going to happen no matter what. It is unreasonable to think that, you know, everyone's going to just be nice to you all the time. But how many of you know every time somebody gives us an opportunity to walk in love, they're giving us an opportunity to be more like God? You need those opportunities to grow in him. There are certain people that they don't realize, even though the relationship there was very tough and, you know, there was confrontation and so on, there's people that I owe a lot to because their treatment of me helped me to develop more in the love of God. You know, and believe me, I'm not saying that I of course, have done the same thing to others, right? I've been a challenge to somebody, right? We all go through that. But I'm here to tell you, we need those interactions because that gives us an opportunity to pass the test. God gave us something supernatural in our new nature so that we can pass the love test. You know, when people mistreat us and treat us like garbage or whatever it is, are you here today? Amen. How many of you believe the love of God is dwelling on the inside of you? You can suffer long. You can make it through that thing. You have supernatural endurance. You can be kind to them. Your spouse is going to, you know, get a hold of the right thinking. You know, that person at work, you can love them and they can see God on you. Praise the Lord. You can grow more like him. Amen. More like the Lord. Glory to God. This is the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. The power of God occurs and moves into our lives when we make a choice to restrain ourselves, control ourselves, stay in patience and kindness in the split second before you lash out against somebody. How many of you have ever had an instant reaction to somebody? In that split second before you lash out, if you will control yourself in the love of God, all right, that is where his power enters your life. If the love of God is dwelling in you, you will get a split second to control yourself before you lash out. Boy, I wasn't planning on telling this story. I've told it. It was a long time ago now, about 10 years ago. We'll just put it this way, and I want to be, you know, polite and discreet in how I describe this, but let's just say it this way. Long story short, I had a man, not that it would be okay if it was a woman, but I had a man, you know, that I was talking to, that I had known for, you know, I had met a couple days earlier, seemed like a relatively normal guy. Let's just put it this way. You know, it was a group of guys that were departing. It was actually a hunting trip that I was on. And we were saying goodbye to several of the guys that were in camp with us. You know, and everybody's just shaking hand, giving the bro hug. You know the bro hug? You know, the quick little bro hug? Well, and this guy that I'd met a couple of days before that was just in camp, he came up, and let's just say that he groped me in a very, I mean, a criminal way. A criminal way. And I was out in the wilderness, believe me. Where I was, this is, you know, there's a bunch of guys there. And in, I mean, I'm telling you, this happened all within 2 seconds. In my mind, I went from seeing myself do great bodily harm to this man. Great bodily harm. And you know what? He would have deserved it. He would have deserved it. And I tell you what, I saw myself and I felt like that rage. Oh, I don't even want to think about it because I just remember that rage started to come over me and I would have hurt that man bad. I said, Pastor, oh my gosh, you're scaring me. No. We all have the potential to lose control if we don't walk in the love of God. And all of a sudden, it was like in a moment of time, I saw myself being arrested and thrown into jail. And my wife, and of course my boys were quite young at that time, my family, and then of course my churches would have dealt with the fact that I am sitting in a jail somewhere out in the middle of nowhere in this wilderness, and the love of God came on me and constrained me. And of course me and some other guys right then and there told that, you know, that guy, you know, he got a mouthful, we'll say it that way. I didn't lose control and, you know, use profanity or anything like that. But there were several other guys around him and said, hey, what do you think you're doing? You know, he got shamed pretty hard, but it was a good thing. Because if I did not, you know, walk in that patience, my family would have suffered as a result. That's what the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me in a split second of time, my wife and kids going through the pain and the hurt of dad sitting in a jail cell because I would have gotten arrested. Because there's no way that a police officer would have known and understood what happened, you know, and I would have been the one that would have probably taken the blame. And the Lord showed me that in a split second of time. Folks, I'm here to tell you that when the love of God gets a hold of you in your heart, it'll constrain you. And of course, that's an extreme example. And, you know, and maybe in some ways that man would have absolutely had what, you know, was coming to him. I'm not, believe me, that was more of a criminal thing. Maybe I should have had him arrested for all I know. I'm just saying there's going to be a lot of personal interactions where people do and say things and your instant reaction is to explode and to yell or to say something mean and harmful, and the love of God will come up and brew up in that split second to constrain you and to prevent you from making situations even worse. Folks, this is what it means to walk in the patience and kindness of God, that the love of God would hold you back. You know, make sure that you don't make anything worse. The power of God is the ability to make a choice to restrain yourself, stay patient and kind in that split second before you lash out in the flesh. Praise the Lord. I've got a lot more in my notes. But I think we can just wrap it up right there. The love of God, does it dwell on the inside of you? Yes. Does the love of God live and can, in your heart and constrain you? Yes, it does. Yes. Folks, if you want to be more like God, you're going to have to live in sacrificial love. Folks, and I know when you hear, you know, an illustration, folks, life gets real. You know, when you hear about an experience, you know, in my life, obviously that's an extreme example. But life is going to be filled with people who do wrong things. Our lives, sometimes we will make mistakes and we will need the love of others to bear us up, to cover a multitude of sins. Amen? This is where God is. I'm trying to tell you, the church in these last days doesn't need to become more political. It needs to go back to the original instruction and walk in the love of God. Amen. Praise God. What we're going to do, we're going to pray here. And then after we're done praying, I'm going to give an invitation. If you're here today and if there's any sickness or condition in your body that you would like to receive prayer for healing, I'm going to give that invitation here in just a few moments. I just feel led this weekend to do this. God wants to do something in your life. And you know what? We want to let him do that in your life. Praise the Lord. But first, we're going to pray. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you. Father, you are holy and good, and we praise you and worship you. You have shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. We have your nature. We have your nature of sacrificial love. And Father, we're going to have to sacrifice or crucify our flesh on a daily basis. It takes a crucified life to obey you, Lord. It takes a crucified life to walk in love towards others that hurt us, that complain about us or insult us or don't do what we want them to do, whatever it is. But Father, we thank you that the love of God would constrain and interrupt us, stop us from lashing out and making things worse, stop us from returning evil for evil. Father, we just praise you today. We glorify you. Father, we don't want to be superficial. We want to be sacrificial. Sacrificial in the house of the Lord. Sacrificial in our prayer time. Sacrificial in the reading of the Bible. Taking time to spend with you. Sacrificial in our giving. Sacrificial in our forgiving. Sacrificial in our serving. Father, I want to be more sacrificial. For no one has greater love than this that we would lay down our lives. Father, we just love you and praise you. We glorify you. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, before we give the invitation for prayer, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Ask yourself that question in your heart. Are you born again? If today was your last day on this earth, would you be in heaven with the Lord? Or would you be lost and separated from God in a place called hell? I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. Hell is a real place. Hell does exist. But I'm here to tell you, heaven is a real place. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth. He took all the sin that we had committed. He bore our sins. He shed his blood on that cross. 3 days later, he rose again. And now the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Are you saved? Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're saved, you'll know it. But if you are uncertain in any way, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now to give your life to the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to make you stand up or anything like that. But right there in your seat, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? And once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. Right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that you are unsure about your eternal destiny? If that's you, could you just put your hand in the air for 1 second so I can lead you in this prayer, lead everybody in this prayer? Is there anybody? Just want to make sure. I don't see any hands. So Lord, if for some reason, if someone within the sound of my voice has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, Father, I pray that they would not leave this earth until they do. Father, we love you. We praise you. Father, I want to walk in your love. I want to be like you are. I want your nature on the inside of me to flow out to everybody around me. Father, I want, when people see my life, I want them to see you. And Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you are here today and you would like to receive prayer for something, maybe an illness or a condition or anything in your body that you would like to receive healing for, how many of you remember Jesus told us over there in Mark chapter 16, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall what? Recover. It is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, his name, through his church. Amen. If that's you here today, could you go ahead and stand up and go ahead and meet me right down here in the platform, in front of the platform. We'll get everybody down who wants to receive prayer. If you could just stand a couple feet in front of the platform, that would be great. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And we believe that as hands are laid upon us, we believe the recovery has begun. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just give God all the glory. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you. Father, we as a church, we agree in Jesus' mighty name that as hands are laid upon these folks, every condition, every illness that is in their body that is not supposed to be, we say it must leave and go in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we know that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Father, your temple is supposed to be strong and healthy. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your help. Thank you, Lord God, that as we lay hands, recovery begins. I'm going to start down here. Praise the Lord. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we declare health and healing in this body. She is whole in her body. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare health and healing to this body. We take authority. Any condition that doesn't belong in this body, get out now and be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we declare health, healing, and strength to this body. Father, we thank you, your power is running through her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And we say she is the healed of the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, this body is whole and healthy. And Father, we know that this is a temple of the Holy Ghost, filled with strength, filled with glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare this body is whole, healthy, and strong. Any condition that is trespassing against the temple of the Holy Ghost, we tell it to be removed. And Father, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we declare strength, health, healing. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name as she walks in your strength, your clarity. Father, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, be glorified. Lord Jesus, be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority over this body and we say that it is whole, healthy, healed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that he walks in your strength all the days of his life. Glory to God, glory to God. In Jesus' mighty name, be healed, be strong, be whole and healthy in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be whole and healthy. Strength upon this body all the days of her life. Any condition that is in this body that is not supposed to be, we tell you to get off the temple of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority over this body and we say, be healed, be whole and healthy. And Father, we thank you that you are glorified when we are fruitful. Thank you, Father. Healing glorifies you and you do a mighty work. You do a mighty work in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, be healed, be whole, be healthy, and strong in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. You perform a perfect work in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, We take authority over this body. We say, be healed, be healthy, be strong. Father, we thank you, Lord. You go and you correct that which needs to be corrected. Your strength and your glory overflows in her life in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare health and healing and strength to this body. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father, you are glorified in her. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority over this body. We say, be healed, be whole, be healthy. Any condition in this body that does not belong, we tell it to be removed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be healed, be whole, be healthy in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that you would be glorified. That you would be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, be healed, be whole and healthy. In the name of Jesus Christ, that Father, that you would receive glory and that your daughter would walk in your strength and your health in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority over this body and Father God, you are glorified. You are glorified and you are doing a mighty work. And we take authority and we say this body is healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority and we say, be healed, be whole, and be healthy. Father, we declare strength over this young man from the top of his head to the soles of his feet all the days of his life in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed, be whole in the name of Jesus. Father, you are glorified. Your power is working in her body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, for a great and mighty work in Jesus' name. Be healed, be whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Strength, health, vitality in this body. Father God, for it glorifies you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over this body. We say, be healed, be whole and healthy. Strength. Things that need to be corrected are corrected to the glory of God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether for you or for the little baby, or for both. All right. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we declare your health and your healing. Father, we thank you that this child is mighty seed. She is a generation of the upright and she's blessed. Father, your power is demonstrated in her life and that of her dad. Thank you, Father, that you strengthened Yvonne here with all of your strength, all of your health, all of your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, be healed, healthy, and whole all the days of your life, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. The Lord will be glorified in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, health and healing is running through this body. We speak to that condition and we say, be removed out of the temple of the Holy Ghost, for you are trespassing and you don't belong. In Jesus' name, full health, full strength to the glory of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority over this body and we say, health and healing belongs to Him. Father, we thank you. You are glorified. Glorified in this man's life, in this man's body. Father, we just say it in Jesus' name. He is healed. Glory to God. Let's just praise Him. Let's just worship Him. Church, let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet and let's just give God all the praise and all the glory. Father God, we believe it. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we believe in that in the days and the weeks to come that we will receive testimonies. Lord, that those testimonies don't glorify this church. They glorify you. That, Father, that you would receive the glory. Father, we praise you. Come on, church, if you believe it, go ahead and rejoice, be glad, and worship Him. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. And, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.